Welcome to An Examined Education, a podcast from the Cambridge School, a classical Christian school in San Diego, California, where we examine an education that prepares students to think well, love rightly, and live wisely. On this week's episode, we bring in Dr. Melissa Gingrich, our upper school principal, and she talks about a new program we're launching this year called Advisory, and how it connects our students with our teachers for deep relationships and intellectual virtue training. Here we go. Hi, Melissa. It's great to see you.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to see you, too.
Welcome to An Examined Education, and it's good to have you back on here. Today, I'm super excited to talk about advisory, one, because I don't know too much about it. So I'll be able to ask you all the questions, and you will be the fount of all wisdom and knowledge. Just kidding. But give me, I guess, a little background of what advisory is, maybe in general, and then specific to Cambridge.
Okay, yeah, sure. Great. So advisory programs are pretty common in independent schools. And so usually what other schools will do with their advisory programs is they'll use it to advance their own particular mission. And so if you are at a school that really emphasizes science and math, for instance, advisory might be geared toward helping you do a science project. Or if you're at a school that really emphasizes service, you might be working on a service project with your advisory group or something like that. So at Cambridge, though, what we wanted to do is to try to emphasize our own particular mission within our advisory program. And so how that came about was there was a group of teachers that were meeting last year during the pandemic, just trying to think about how could we do virtue education better at Cambridge. And the more we read about virtue education, the more we realized that it's really important to, that takes part or takes place in the context of a relationship. And so we wanted to form these groups where students could really work together with one particular advisor to learn more about virtue education. That was our most immediate goal. And then our second goal was to provide a place for students to be seen and heard and known at Cambridge. So as our upper school gets bigger, we realize that our classes are bigger, we have more teachers, and so we need to be more intentional about pairing up teachers with students that they can care for and really mentor through their years here at Cambridge. So we really had those two goals in mind when we thought about the advisory program.
That's great. How did you go about the planning? You said it took, I guess, a year to really plan it all out. And what were some of the things that you had to think through in the planning?
Yeah, so it was really kind of an organic process where we were thinking about this virtue education, and we were also thinking about how to mentor students. And I just really am so grateful for the group of people who came together around that. So DJ Goodweiler, Rachel McNair, Amanda Sansonetti, and Natalie Breeden for really helping really to even come up or dream up the idea in the first place. And then, of course, to Jean and Russ for really helping us think through how to do it well in upper school. And so we as a small group, we started to come together to think about, okay, how do we want this to actually be implemented? And so we thought, okay, one time a week, if we have a two time a week sessions, one time a week will be dedicated to relationship building with the teachers and the students in the group. And then the other session would be related to learning about the intellectual virtues and thinking about them together.
I see. So one time kind of how are you doing, asking around the group and really building that relationship, and then the other time kind of more instructional. Is that how it is playing out?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of room for flexibility with teachers. So we give the teachers the curriculum a month in advance, and so they can sort of plan out their time with the students. And so if they have a really good conversation going about something else entirely, they could just push the virtue education to the next week and so forth. So we want it to be really flexible, and we really want it to be led by the teachers in a way that makes sense for their group.
Mm-hmm. So. And our house system is set up where there's people from 7th through 12th grade all in one house. Mm-hmm. In the advisory groups, what's the demographic of a of a group itself?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. So we have three different age levels. So we have 7th and 8th grade together, 9th and 10th grade together, and 11th and 12th grade together. And then we also have them separated by gender. And we did that for a couple of reasons. One was because a lot of times kids are more comfortable talking frankly and honestly in mm-hmm. single gender groups, especially middle school girls in particular. And then we also wanted to remove some barriers from interactions between teachers and students. So for instance, if you're a close mentor of someone, it's more comfortable if you're the same sex. You can take them out for coffee and such and things like that. So we just wanted to remove some of those barriers.
That's great. So does this just stay in school or does it go outside of school? Or kind of what are some of the goals for those building relationships?
Yeah, I think it definitely can go outside of school in terms of the relationships. I just mentioned maybe taking an advisee out for coffee or something like that. It's really going to be dependent on the teacher and what their stage in life is like. We have some young teachers with young kids. It might be not as easy for them to do that. But we do encourage advisors to go to volleyball games, plays, musicals, things like that where the students are involved so that they can see them outside of school hours. We're also going to be extending advisory out to the parent community as well. We're encouraging our advisors to communicate with parents, and we're aiming to do that twice or at least once a semester in the middle of the semester. We're going to be having some student-led character conferences with parents, with definitely Rhetoric School this year, and then hopefully Logic School in the future as well. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, we want to have communication from the advisors to the parents as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What are some of the topics in the relational portion? Do you know some of the topics that the people are bringing up and the kind of questions that they're asking?
Yeah, so it's really age specific. So that's why we grouped the kids together by age so that it would really serve their stage in life well. My group in particular is 11th and 12th grade girls, and just last week, we had a great conversation. We just did high point, low point. There was mm-hmm. not a lot of prep for that lesson. But one of the girls brought up just this idea. Her low point was writing a paper and not getting it in on time. And she just talked a lot about failure and how it felt for her. And we all got to give her some compassion. And, you know, I even said to her, I'm so glad you said that, because that's the way I feel when I fail, too. And it's good to know that I'm not alone. Mm. And so it was just a real nice bonding moment for us. And so those things will come up in the groups. And it's interesting how a lot of the girls are going through the same things at the same time. And it's nice for them just to talk about it with a mm-hmm. caring adult. So that's the way that goes. I also know that our group takes place outside, and right next to our group is a group of 7th and 8th grade boys. So we get to overhear some of their loud, raucous playtime, and that's just a lot of fun. And I know that they're having a great time of bonding with their teacher as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to see what the other groups are doing and kind of peek into what's happening around campus. But the teachers were so responsive, and they were so excited about it. And I'm so proud of them for jumping in with both feet and just doing it week mm-hmm. after week. And so I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I don't know. And I think that that's part of the excitement for me. Mm-hmm. And we are definitely going to keep our ears open to hear from teachers, to hear from students and parents about how it's going, what's happening in the groups, how can we improve it, how can we tweak it so that it's better year after year after year, because that's one of our values at Cambridge, is to always make it better, and so mm-hmm. we want to hear feedback for how it's going from everybody involved, and, you know, just let it grow where it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, we've always said that our goals are wisdom and virtue and a thoughtful faith at the end. It's not about where they go to college or their SAT scores. And this seems like a perfect intentional way to build that wisdom, to build the virtue and the thoughtful faith all together. So I'm super excited about it. And my son is in it, so I'm excited that he gets to glean the wisdom from his advisor as well. So it's new to us, and you've had kids that have graduated. Mm-hmm. And they didn't experience it. Do you feel like they're missing something, or did they receive it in a different way?
That's a good question. Yeah, no, I mean, I think the answer is yes and no to that. yeah, when my sons were at Cambridge, the class sizes were smaller. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they did sort of get that organically in some sense. But I am excited, and I am sorry that they missed the intentional virtue education. I really think what we're doing is we're giving the kids a vocabulary so that they can know themselves a little bit better, where their own intellectual strengths and growth areas are. And so they can really just use that throughout their entire lifetime. And I think we're really instilling some good habits that they can really fall back on when they're seeking after truth their whole life long. So I'm excited for that.
Hey, this has been great so far. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our resident classicist here at the Cambridge School, Jim Hamilton.
Welcome to the arena. I'm Jim Hamilton, Chair of Classical Languages at the Cambridge School, and today we're going to be talking about advisory through an anecdote of the classical world. The obvious first choice in any talk over virtue education is Quintilian. And for this arena especially, what I'm about to share isn't from some obscure recesses of the classics, but something just recently studied by all of my colleagues at Cambridge. Quintilian was born in the mid-first century AD. Though his early life was spent as what we would call a lawyer today, he eventually began what became the first publicly funded school in Rome. Being a pagan, we will naturally see a lack of connection to religion in his educational philosophy, but in every other facet, we see an educational model that is filled with common grace wisdom. Key to Quintilian's education was that students didn't just learn reading, writing, and rhetoric for themselves, but that they would use these skills to influence those around them and improve society as a whole. In order for these skills to have that positive impact, they must be rooted in morally good virtues, according to Quintilian. Therefore, to Quintilian, a well-educated man could not be the reclusive scholar, but one who was an actively involved citizen. Hear his own words in the beginning of his famous work, the Institutio Oratoria. My aim, then, is the education of the perfect orator. The first essential for such a one is that he should be a good man, and consequently, we demand of him not merely the possession of exceptional gifts of speech, but of all the excellences of character as well. For I will not admit that the principles of upright and honorable living should, as some have held, be regarded as the peculiar concern of philosophy. The man who can really play his part as a citizen and is capable of meeting the demands of both public and private business, the man who can guide a state by his counsels, give it a firm basis by his legislation, and purge its vices by his decisions as a judge, is assuredly no other than the orator of our quest. The advisory program at our school is a more intentional working out of this essential virtuous side to education. You may be familiar with our marketing campaign, A Good Man, Well Spoken, taken directly from Quintilian's Institutio Oratoria, the Latin being vir bonus dicendi peritus. Borrowing from an idea of the Quintilian scholar James Murphy, we can see the clear marriage of trained skill and moral purpose in this simple but loaded phrase. Bonus, good, has explicitly moral implications, and peritus, a participle from the more commonly compounded verb experior, means experienced, trained, practiced. This shows the educated nature of the speaking dicendi. To Quintilian, just as to us at Cambridge, these components of education are inseparable.
This morning, we had a coffee with the administration, and you were there, and I was there. I think you had said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there was going to be a self-assessment that the kids take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do all the kids take a self-assessment?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they assessing?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's actually happening next week. And so part of this whole process is being able to be self-reflective and think about your own thinking habits, really. And so we're taking the self-assessment next week. There are these questions that are designed to tease apart how well you're leaning into the nine intellectual virtues that we're identifying here that we're learning about. So they'll get to see, like, how well do I lean into this virtue? Am I weak in this particular area? What can I do to grow? So they'll have a little score that they come up with at the end, and they'll do a graph to see where their strengths are really at and where their weaknesses are. And then they'll talk about it with their advisor. So each of our advisors are teaching at least one of the grade levels that they have in advisory, and a lot of them have taught those same students in the past. And mm-hmm. so they know these students already, and so they'll be able to think about it with them and say, oh, yeah, I definitely see that strength, or, yeah, I also see that growth area. And so they'll be able to just talk through with them. We're going to mm-hmm. be doing individual meetings the week after for the kids to talk about it with them, and then do some goal setting for the year.
Wow. Yeah. It's a huge investment in the lives of these kids. That's amazing to see. Mm-hmm. And then do they keep their advisor for a certain period of time, or how does that work?
Yeah, so they'll keep their advisor for a year, and then they'll move on to another advisor the following year. Uh-huh. So if you have a seventh grader right now, that means that they'll have six adults who are investing in them over the course of their Cambridge education. And so you can imagine them as a 10th grader going back to their seventh grade advisor and talking with them later. So they'll maintain these relationships throughout their time here.
That's amazing. That's great. What are some of the things you discuss in advisory?
So for our first quarter curriculum, we really wanted to lay the foundations for understanding and learning about the intellectual virtues later. And so we went through several different topics in our first few weeks. And the first one was, what is the good life? What does it mean to flourish? So we talked about the students' concepts of what it means to live a good life and then how that relates to our Cambridge School mission. So our Cambridge School mission is geared toward raising up students who know, love, and practice that which is good, true, and beautiful in the service of God and neighbor. And so we thought about, okay, help us form our picture of what flourishing looks like? And then the next week we talked about the pursuit of truth as the goal of the intellectual virtues. We talked about why do we want to know things? How do we get closer to the truth? And it's really through cultivation of those skills and those virtues that we get closer to truth. And then the next week we talked about our school honor code, and we used one of the advisory sessions to sign that honor code. And then we're going to be taking these self-assessments that we talked about for a minute earlier. Mm-hmm. And then the students are going to be able to do some self-reflection. And then we're going to define the nine intellectual virtues that we're going to be looking at so that we have a common language and a common vocabulary for both our advisory groups and in the classroom. So teachers are planning to use this language in the classroom as it comes up and as they have opportunities to do so. And we're going to talk about then next how the gospel relates to our pursuit of virtue and that our success or failure in these areas don't alter our standing before God and shouldn't be confused with trying to earn our own salvation. And then the next week it kind of leads into talking about failure and what do we do when we fail just how do we develop a growth mindset and have the willingness to try again and take more intellectual risks. So after we've laid all of this fertile soil for the intellectual virtues, the study of those, we'll jump into teaching the intellectual virtues themselves. We'll be covering three virtues this year in advisory: curiosity, carefulness, and intellectual courage. So these lessons are going to include virtue knowledge, which helps students define and understand the virtues in question. So what is it really trying to get at? Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to articulate that pretty well and nuance it pretty well. And then we'll move into virtue reasoning, which they're going to think through different situations in which the virtue is called for and how the virtuous person would act in that situation. And then they're going to be moving on to virtue practice, in which they're going to read stories about historical characters or fictional characters that show how a person could act out the virtue. And then they will make a plan for themselves developing in that virtue in the coming days and weeks. So
this is amazing, because I'm just thinking, like, you think of school as certain subjects that you're going to learn, science and math and reading and whatever, composition. But this is a whole separate thing that the kids are getting out of a Cambridge education. And so I'm, like, surprised, because this is the first time I'm hearing how in-depth it is and how intentional it is. And I'm just, I'm thank you so much for putting the effort into making this happen for our students.
Yes. We're amazing. So excited about it. And I'm just so thankful for our team who's working on it. So DJ and Natalie and Amanda and Rachel, they've all put in so much effort into writing the curriculum.
Wow.
And it's very Cambridge specific. And so we've taken lots and lots of different things and culled out through different sources and really made it appropriate for our context. And I think it's good. It's good.
It is. Yeah. That's great. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today and explaining all about advisory. I'm even more excited about the Cambridge approach to classical Christian education after today.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you for listening to An Examined Education. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, check out our website, schedule a private tour, or reach out to the Advancement Office at cambridgeclassical.org. Until next time, think well, love rightly, and live wisely.